Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction. And free shipping. And that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hello and welcome to The Mentor. I'm Mark Boris. One thing that's become clearer than ever over the past few months is that brand authenticity and consistency in business are essential. Different markets have different tastes, so no matter what your business is, the challenge is to create a look and feel that's authentic to your brand while still being able to adapt and evolve. So today I'm speaking to a guest who knows a lot about creating authenticity through brave design as well as innovation for the future, and that is Ian Cartabiano. He's a president of Toyota Europe Design Development, who is also responsible for the progressive direction of the Lexus vehicle's design and what's to come in the future. When it comes to pushing the boundaries and staying consistent, relevant and progressive in their design, Lexus, in my opinion, are ahead of the curve. And today we're going to be talking about the groundbreaking ideas that keep Lexus at the forefront and how you can apply these principles to your business. I want to ask Ian how the Lexus brand consistently appeals to the customers through design and the craftsmanship and the importance of evolving into the future. So let's get into it. Ian Cartabiano, welcome to The Mentor.
Mark, a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for having me with you. It's really great.
I'm detecting an American accent or Canadian.
No, not Canadian. I can't hide it. It's American. I'm a guy from Los Angeles, currently based in the south of France.
Whereabouts in the south of France are you? Are we talking to each other from now? And what time of night is it?
Okay, we're in a town called Sophia Antipolis. We're in between Nice and Cannes, so very close to where the Cannes Film Festival is held. And right now it's about 13 minutes past midnight, south of France time.
Wow, that's not a bad, that's not too shabby a place to be though.
No,
at this time of year.
Very fortunate to be here.
So Ian, can I ask you a question? So your title is President Toyota Europe Design Development. So that's a pretty cool title, and it's a cool place to work. That is Toyota, Lexus. I'm seeing some really good designs behind you sitting there. Is this sort of your boyhood dream? You know, you're working for an organization like Lexus and or Toyota and sitting around doing really cool designs and playing with unusual stuff and innovating and all that sort of stuff. I mean, is that sort of your boyhood dream?
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, this was, I'm doing the job today that I've wanted to do since I was about 5 or 6 years old. This is my dream job. But yeah, designing for a company like Toyota and Lexus and being, you know, now being stationed in the south of France, it doesn't get much better than this in our industry. It's funny, my friends and family members think it was destiny to do this job because my mom was an artist and my dad was a toy designer. But also my dad's side of the family were a bunch of gearheads. And so I grew up with cars and I grew up with drawing and painting. And then you put that together. And as they say here, et voila, we have this job.
You're blessed in that regard. What is it? I mean, like we're going to have a lot of listeners listening to this. And I mean, I can only speak for men because I was a young boy. I can't say what it would be like for it to be a girl. But my dream was to do something like you're doing now as a kid. How do you reach that dream? Like, what was it that you did that got you to doing what you are doing today? So, you know, what was your process? I mean, did you study this at school or did you sort of do this after school? Like, you know, were you obsessed with cars and or design, or was it just something that you inherited? How does it work?
Well, to be honest, Mark, I think I've been obsessed with cars since before I can remember. My first actual memory is losing this prized Matchbox toy car. And so I've been a gearhead since early days. And I've always been drawing, doodling. And I had a family that they really promoted and they supported this kind of artistic endeavor. And as I was growing up, I learned more and more that there was something called car design. And when I was about 11 years old, I used to subscribe to a magazine in the United States called Road and Track. And in that magazine, they used to have drawing, like illustrations of future vehicles. And one day I asked my father, how does this guy draw like this? How does he draw these future cars? And my dad, being a working toy designer, he took out a pad of paper and some markers, and he drew a mid-80s Ferrari Testarossa on the dining table. And at that point, I was like, this is what I want to do. I was hooked. Then I entered a car design contest when I was 12, and I was one of the quarterfinalists, and that was a further step. And at the time we were living in the East Coast of the United States, my father transferred from one toy company to another, to Mattel in California. And when we went to California, I knew there was a design school there named Art Center College of Design. And it's one of the top car design schools in the planet. So if you take a poll of all the car designers around the world, probably 50% of them graduated from this university. And then through my high school days, my art teacher supported this goal of mine to become a car designer. So I was able to get into Art Center, started in 94. And during that time, it was I did an internship at Porsche in Germany. And it was the first time I'd ever left the country in my entire life. And when you graduate, they have this senior show, they call it, and you put all your work on display and they invite major automotive OEMs from around the world. And you have 1 week to show off, to try to get a job. And it's a very hard job to get. There's very few positions around the planet. And I had a couple job interviews from Europe and from Detroit. And the very last day, Toyota came. They said, we'd like you to come in 2 days. And I went and took the interview, and I went home, and that night they called and they said, we'd like to offer you a job. And this was 2 weeks after graduating, and I couldn't believe my fortune that I was able to land a job doing what I wanted to do since I was 6 years old.
That's quite pertinent and relevant to what Lexus in Australia, along with my business mentor, has just completed. So we put together a thing called the Lexus Mentored Grant, and it was a grant of $100,000 made up of $25,000 each to four people. And it was about people putting, small business owners, putting their pitch to us. And what we were seeking was for high quality pitches. In other words, you know, someone who's well practiced, similar to you when you did your little pitch to all the OEMs after your graduation. But it was also about innovation. And for people to be successful, a lot of the times, they need something very, very important, and that is encouragement. And not enough people encourage, not enough businesses around the world today encourage, which is why I was so pleased that Lexus took this on. Not enough people go around encouraging small business owners or people like you, individuals, to be the best they can in innovation. How important do you think that whole process of encouraging Ian Cartabiano helped in forming the guy you are today and the output that you are providing today to all those people who buy Toyotas and or Lexuses? And in other words, your design or your team's design or your company's design, how important was that little bit of encouragement back when you were, maybe you're 18 years of age, that encouragement there and then?
Oh, honestly, Mark, I think it's incredibly important. And I think you raise a really good point that that kind of innovative and risk-taking, challenging part of design is something that was, it was encouraged greatly by the faculty at Art Center, but also my high school art teacher. and to do something innovative and try not to create what's been created before. The main reason that companies hire young designers is to come up with new ideas that maybe the generation like me now, who's more experienced, wouldn't think of. The students in this program, the ones that get hired, are the ones with groundbreaking, innovative ideas that challenge the status quo. And so you're pushed by not only for your own desire to do the best you possibly can, but the school's also very competitive because it's such a small field. You're basically competing against the top designers around the world. And so maybe you think you're the best artist in your school. Well, you come to this university and all of a sudden you're surrounded by 40 other kids who were also the best in maybe their state. And it drives you and it pushes you. It's funny because Business Week at one point ranked Art Center the third hardest university behind MIT and Harvard because of the pace of innovation and the fact that you had to come up with a totally unique and groundbreaking idea from zero to a model similar to what's sitting behind me in 13 weeks. So I think when I look back at the connection to where I am now, I'm really grateful for it because this company, whether it's Toyota or now we're talking about Lexus, it really focuses on innovation, not following the pack, breaking the mold, being brave, whether it's design, engineering, or even brand image. And cookie cutter designs and been there, done that philosophies never really get past the drawing board here, whether it's this studio in France or the headquarters in Japan or the studio I was working at in California. And I'm really grateful for that challenge. And I totally agree with you. I think no matter what the future generations come up with, I think innovation and drive should be encouraged at a very early age, and no matter what you're doing.
And rewarded and recognized, because everybody wants to be recognized for what they've innovated. I mean, if we don't get recognized, sooner or later we'll just say, oh, stuff this, I'm not going to do it anymore because no one cares. I mean, you can get innovators like yourself and innovation organizations like the one you were for Toyota Lexus. In my business too, you do go through down periods, you know, where you think, oh, wow, nobody gets this, nobody wants to do it, or there's a thousand reasons why they don't want to do it or can't do it, or it's too early in the curve and I'm just sort of headbutting against the wall, or there's 50 other people coming up with something better than me every week, and you get your down periods. Everybody gets their down periods, and you need to be lifted up. And it's just the simplest thing. Recognition is the simplest thing. And it can give someone a new lease of life, and they'll go on to do something fantastic from there. And I want to ask you now, what does Lexus do in that regard? I mean, you as the president of the unit within the organization of Toyota Lexus that develops change in the way automobiles are going to be in the future, how does it work in an organization like yours? I mean, and how far out are you trying to innovate for? Are you trying to innovate for the next 20 years, or you're just trying to innovate for next year, or you're trying to innovate what you currently are doing to make it more efficient? What are the innovation areas? Is it about efficiency, or is it cool looking, or is it about the engineering? And what is the period that you innovate for, and what is it a response? What are you looking for? What does Lexus give back to you guys in your team?
Okay, so I would just say, first of all, to answer your question about recognition, one form of recognition is, good job, now you can go be the president of the studio in the south of France for 4 years. So
that works.
That works. But it's funny that you mention it. I haven't had anybody ask me that before, but it's a large part of what drives designers. And it's not because we're shallow or are looking for a constant affirmation from anybody. But when you create something that comes from your heart and soul and from oftentimes years of work, it's nice to get some recognition or acknowledgement. For my staff, I try to get my staff that works as a team on these projects out there to get recognition publicly, and especially from our field. So for example, for the LF30 Electrified, I I brought four of the designers that worked on the project with me and with the car to Tokyo. And we worked with Lexus International to put their actual design work on display in the show stand, which was the first time that's ever happened. And that little action created so much happiness within the team. And it also created a bond with the company that proves that the company respects and admires design and puts a lot of stock into it and considers it an important part of the process. So recognition, I think, sometimes is actually more valuable than pay.
100%.
And that's an interesting thing. So thank you for bringing that up. And then regarding innovation, the studio that we're here in France, mostly we focus on advanced concepts that head towards production, advanced concepts that nobody will ever see, and concept cars like the LF30. And we work within ranges of 3 years out. When we work on an advanced model that maybe will become a production car, usually it's 3 to 4 years in advance. And for cars like the LF30, the target date range was 2030. That's what we aimed the product to be, so 10 years out. And sometimes we do projects that are 15, 20 years out, where we reimagine not only design, but the business model and how society may change and how a product we design may change with society. And in that way, it's interesting because the designers at Lexus and Toyota globally, we're not just stylists. I think designers, especially nowadays, I consider them futurists. And the designers here, especially in the last 5 years, have been tasked more with not only creating what looks cool, but business case, use case, future buyer scenarios, future society scenarios, technology, and then wrapping that all up into a package that still looks pleasing to the eye. So innovation is a large driver of our business and our daily job.
So I know a little bit about, in particular, Lexus. You know, I have two Lexuses and I have a Toyota Hilux as well. I drive a Hilux, I drive LC500, and I've got a SUV, a Lexus SUV. Mainly I put stuff on my farm, I drive things around the city, etc. But in any event, one of the things that I noticed is that the more I drive the 500, the LC500, the more I drive it, the more I start to learn about the car. You guys obviously know everything about the LC500. I understand you're releasing a convertible very soon. And I think, you know, the car is extremely cool to drive. It looks great. It sounds fantastic. But there are innovations within the car that maybe someone like me, I'm not a car enthusiast as such, but at the same time, one of the things that's really important to me is that I like to know that the car in itself is innovated and, in other words, has something in it that other motor vehicles on the road don't have. What are you thinking to yourselves when you, for example, try to maybe think about putting motors in all the wheels and all the four wheels or something that you're going to do? What are you thinking about? How do you prioritize what's important? Are you thinking about how do I make this more efficient for Mark? How do I make this a hybrid? Or how do I make it go faster? How do I make it more efficient with petrol and or electricity? I mean, where do you prioritize these things? Mm. Or do you just have an open book for your team and say, let's just go for it and see what we can pull together and then we'll prioritize it after that?
Well, first of all, thank you for having an LC500. I was the chief designer of the concept car that became the production car back in 2012. So I love that car. It was one of the best projects I've ever worked on in my life. So thank you for that. It's interesting that you bring up the topic of the, for example, in-wheel motors. And for projects like the LF30 electrified, the concept car that previews future electrified technology, we started with a true blank slate. And we thought, well, what's the ideal driving situation in a future of electrification? So for LF30 electrified, we aimed as a team a few weeks into it to move to an in-wheel motor configuration. And it was really for 3 to 4 reasons. First of all, for design, it really changes the proportion of the vehicle. And, you know, you mentioned LC500. That car has a very long bonnet or hood. I'm not sure what it's called in Australia.
Both.
Yeah. So you have a long front, right? And between the front wheel and the front pillar of the car, it's quite a long distance. We call that dash to axle. And that long space usually signifies a really powerful and big motor. But what we wanted to do was put the power into each wheel. So for LF30, we had to reformulate or rethink the proportion of the vehicle. And in a design language way, we had to show that power was coming from the wheels, not the long hood. So we created these kind of muscular, strong fender shapes that connect the wheel to the cabin. And it also allowed us to put the wheels at all four corners, which makes the car have better stance, better stability, looks more agile. It also creates a more sleek profile and it increases the cabin volume. So you're able to have a car that's roughly the size of our LS sedan, but the interior volume is more like a large van or limousine. So from an aesthetic point of view, the in-wheel motor was an interesting choice. The other thing it did aesthetically was we wanted to cool them in a different way. So traditionally, a petrol motor car has a large grill on the front. What we did is we removed the grill and we moved the intakes to the sides. And we used the side intakes to create the shape of the front of the car, but they were actually really functional. They brought the air into the in-wheel motor turbines and cooled the motors that way. And it controlled airflow around the vehicle. So switching to in-wheel motor opened a lot of opportunities for the design team. And technology-wise, what was really interesting about the in-wheel motor system is we aim to create a new type of driving performance because we didn't want an electric car just to be a boring appliance. We thought that the fun-to-drive or exhilarating drive experience is still a key part of car ownership, especially premium car ownership. So what we thought was, if you had the motor at each wheel, electronically you could control not only how much power goes to each wheel under a different load condition, a different cornering condition, but you could also control the traction amount. Let's say you could dial in full four-wheel drive, or you could dial in more power to the rear to get a little bit more playful. But also during hard cornering, you could expertly control the feel of the car and get the perfect amount of traction needed to come into a corner and out of a corner. So these electric motors at each wheels, they aesthetically gave us a new look, but experience-wise, they can give you a new feeling of performance. And that's what I think, that's one of the things I think is really interesting about electrified future is for designers and engineers, it really opens up the playbook to go beyond a traditional way of thinking about driving performance or driving dynamics.
It's interesting that what you just described in relation to the LF30, the concept car, but I want to go back to the LC500 as well. Mm. That design, which, as you say, was first conceived back in 2012, it's now in production, obviously. That takes a fair bit of courage from the people putting this stuff together. And I mean, you know, you're going to run into the process of people saying, oh, well, that's too fancy, or that's too out there, or it's going to be too expensive, or maybe no one's ever going to buy it, or people aren't going to understand it, or that's never going to work. That takes a fair bit of courage. And that sense of sort of brave design, how well entrenched or deeply entrenched, and how lucky are you that someone like Toyota Lexus actually allows you to do this, because a lot of other organizations would say, let's not bother. Let's just do what we can make tomorrow and just pump them out.
Yeah. Well, Mark, I would honestly say that the Lexus LC500 is almost the best example of not only brave design, but the commitment that our company has now to really produce the designer's engineer's vision from concept to road. And a lot of that has to do with Akio Toyoda. And it really changed once he became the head of the company. And he had an experience where a journalist said, told him, this was, I think, 2010 or 2011. He's like, cars are nice, but...
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
They're a little bit boring. And Akio comes back and he basically gives the company-wide dictate, no more boring cars. And that's actually, those are the magic words for designers. Because we, you know, we're expressive. We want our company to be expressive. And it's the only way we can stand out against traditional competition. So when we started the LC Coupe concept, the only keyword was make something beautiful and new. And so we really pushed the boundaries on that car, even the process it was designed and how it came to fruition. And we did the concept car, and it was best in show of Detroit of that year, and everybody loved it. Akio loved it. But amazingly, they decided to go with it. And Akio said, make the production car look exactly like the concept car. And he put the chief engineer named Sato in charge of that car. And now Sato-san is now the president of Lexus International. And his push, Sato-san's push to really challenge the way we make cars made the final output look exactly like the concept car. I would say so many different manufacturing techniques were changed to make that car possible. It's really, that's really a designer's dream. Yeah. And it really comes down to the bravery to put in the resources and the effort to make somebody's vision come true. I think this is really a golden era of design in this company. I've been with Toyota and Lexus now for 23 years. The past 9 to 10 years, probably the past 9 years have been the best I've experienced in the company. And I tell my new young designers that, well, you're really lucky to be here in this time, because you will get something on the road. And if we're smart about it and you really challenge yourself and we're innovative and we're brave, you might get exactly what you want out there. And somebody may buy your car someday. And actually, going back to recognition, that's the best recognition. Walking around and seeing somebody driving the car you designed drive by, or parked in a driveway, or parked in a parking lot, or to hear somebody talking positively about it. It's a really cool experience. But yeah, LC was a big challenge, and the whole company, design, engineering, product planning, manufacturing, body engineering, the motor engineering group, all put in 110% effort to make that product. And I think that actually comes out in all of our products. And you'll see more of that in our future products.
When I describe the feeling of driving the LC500, I describe it in it sounds cool when you start it up. It's got a really cool sound. It's very comfortable. It feels good when I drive it. It just feels good. I don't know what the engineering is, but it feels good. I don't know what all the innovations are, but I know that there's something going on, but it just feels good. It looks cool. It's very appealing to look at from my point of view. Inside, in terms of panels, what I mean by panels is how the thing is engineered in terms of what you've touched to work, and it looks very futuristic to me. I feel like I'm in an aeroplane or something like that, and I'm not that sophisticated in terms of being able to work everything, but I just like having it. So you guys put all that into detail. I mean, you actually break all those descriptors that I just gave you, which are very broad, generic type descriptors. You break them down into really small details, and you make sure that you deliver on those things. And as I said, as an amateur car enthusiast, it's interesting that you have been out, you and your team, or Lexus more important, I guess, you've been able to predict back 10 years ago or nearly 10 years ago what someone like me is expecting out of my motor vehicle environment when it comes to the LC500 for that matter. And that's sort of quite an interesting process of seeing into the future. How the hell do you do that? I mean, how do you look at what the LF30, what are you thinking to yourself? How do you work out what people are going to want to have in terms of electrification cars in 2030? I mean, how do you work that out? I mean, where do you get this idea and or thought process from?
Mark, it's an interesting question because, as I said, I really consider the design team at all the studios at this company, they're futurists. And a large part of any project, any advanced project, is research and postulating a hypothesis of a future buyer target. And we don't start drawing right away. Everybody thinks maybe we start creating instantly when we get an assignment. But the truth is we spend probably about 3-4 months nailing down the concept first. It's almost like a designer version of a business plan. Everybody needs buy-in, design, product planning, engineering, before anybody starts drawing. It's really interesting because predicting what the future scenario is going to be and who's going to want a type of vehicle and why and what's the story. So it's not just facts. We have research teams that provide us with factual data, a lot of numerical data and statistics. That's all fine. But we try to merge that with prediction. And a lot of it is analyzing trends, future trend research, things that we see online that have nothing to do with automotive, but have more to do with what people are going to think and feel in the future. And we try to merge what we think is going to happen with the statistics that show where things are likely to go. And we try to tell a story around that that's a little bit more colorful than just Mark, male, in the future is going to want this car with two doors. It's more about what we call a dream scene, a day in the life. We try to describe a day in the life, and then we create a vehicle to suit those needs. So it's kind of funny because I would say when we did the original concept for LC, somebody like you, Mark, you were actually who we had exactly envisioned as the target buyer for that car. A successful entrepreneurial businessman, businesswoman, but somebody who was forward-thinking and innovative and not bound by tradition. Because we had to tell a story of why would somebody spend X amount of dollars on a luxury coupe that didn't come from Europe? So we had to create a story around the type of person who would be open to take a risk and get something more innovative. So that's for LC. For LF30, it was a little bit more challenging. Again, Lexus Design, Lexus International really gave us the freedom to dream, I would say. And starting with a blank sheet, it sounds great for designers, but actually it's the hardest job there is because there's no parameters. So we started thinking about, okay, 2030, electrification is in full swing. What does that mean for our brand? But not only what does it mean for the vehicle, but what's the total experience? What's the total luxury experience from getting up in the morning and going throughout your day and then finishing your day and possibly what you do for the weekend? So we envisioned a total scenario of getting up in the morning and being completely connected with this vehicle and having all the information that you need tailored to your needs available to you inside your house but communicated to you via the car on the Lexus Cloud. And then driving to work, having an exhilarating drive to really awaken the senses and really get you motivated to continue the day. Then you do your day at work, and maybe you want to plan a weekend trip with your girlfriend or wife and two of your best friends, and the friends can join you in this vehicle because there's so much space, but it's an exhilarating drive experience. And use of augmented reality and AI, not only the perfect route to wherever you want to go, but maybe an itinerary is planned for you. Everybody in the vehicle could experience the trip. So the navigation unit is not just for the driver. It's shared with all passengers. And in this car's case, we actually projected it on the ceiling, and we projected it as a star map. And the inspiration was about navigating via the stars from Ancient Mariners. But it was about involving everybody in the vehicle in the journey, and then ending the journey in like a Lexus branded resort. And the car would basically drop you off. We had these little, what we called Lexus Airporters. And it's in the movie that we released online. But we had these hovercraft come out of the back of the vehicle, and it would take your luggage for you. So it's like a drone porter system. And meanwhile, when you're walking in, the car drives itself to the parking spot. It charges overnight, and you enjoy a wonderful experience in this Lexus resort, and you see the Northern Lights. That was an example of the story we created around the vehicle to help explain, who is this car for? So,
I mean, I think for anybody who's trying to innovate in business today, they have to understand the sorts of things that great organizations like your organization does as a premise to making the design and or coming up with the thing that's going to be the new product.
Mm.
I mean, lots of people who listen to this show are looking for ways to innovate, but they really don't even know, to be frank with you, they don't even really understand what innovation is. And innovation is not a word, it's a process. And it's about having the best practices in the world. One of the things I just wanted to bring you back to, and to me it's a very important matter, is that I think the concept of tradition, particularly Japanese tradition, still, you know, whilst, you know, there are lots of European cars, you talked about how do you convince someone to buy a car, that a luxury car that's not designed and built in Europe. And one of the things that it's always been in my head, one thing I know about Japan is tradition's a very important thing. And one of the things I sense when I get inside the car is I do get a sense of tradition, like there's lots of timber, it's quite warm, it feels quite luxurious. I mean, all right, Japanese are famous for their technology, I get that, but the technology is a given because we've just discussed that. How does this concept of tradition kept within the car? Because, you know, like we have all these modern things, electrification, we have, you know, use of the cloud, and we can look at the stars over the top of us while we're driving, everyone can experience the trip, et cetera. But at the end of the day as well, we do need still to have connection back with nature or natural things, a natural feel. And that's sort of about making everything authentic, real.
Yeah.
How do you guys sort of keep me in that loop? Or are you going to put me some other place that is completely foreign to me? I mean, do you keep me in the loop?
Yeah.
In the traditional sense.
I think one of the really great things about working for the Lexus brand in the last couple of years is the realization that the 1,000-year-old tradition of Japanese craftsmanship is something to be promoted and talked about and actually designed into the car. And for a long time, it was all about the technology, which is great. But recently, we really, to be honest with you, Mark, we're really trying hard to bring that tradition of Japanese craft. I don't know if you've heard the word Takumi craftsmanship.
I have.
But bringing this kind of Japanese handcraft into the vehicle. So, for example, in the LS series sedans, we have this beautiful Kiroko glasswork in the door, the patterns in the door based on the Kimoto weaving. In LC, the coupe that you have, the stitching in the door is inspired by that Takumi craftsmanship. So for LF30, although it's the overall shape of the car is strikingly futuristic, we felt that in the interior environment, what's a nice balance to automation and AI and AR is that sense that humans were still involved in the creation and making of the vehicle. And that's where the Japanese craftsmanships come in. And so it's not just about, of course, it's a big separation from us to the European competitors. And I really love it. But I think it's also going to help soften the edge of technology in our future. So for LF30 Electrified, we actually had a lot of very concrete examples of that. So for example, in the door panels, we wanted to take the pleating. So in LS, we have pleating of the fabric in the door. So for LF30, we wanted to take that to the next level. And we wanted to create fabric that was woven from spun metal and spun recycled metal, but folding it in a way that they do in Kyoto at the traditional kimono makers. So the interior door panel of LF30 is metal fabric pleats that stretch the length of the car that were made by hand. Huh. That's really interesting. Another thing is a lot of the wood in the vehicle is inside is black. And it's not black by paint. It's through a process called yakisugi. And yakisugi is an ancient Japanese technique of charring wood to not only give it a beautiful black sheen, but it also is a natural way to protect it from insects and from rot. And it's a natural preservation technique. So we use this reclaimed wood in the entire interior, and we made it black using this technique. And it's funny, there's another thing, and I have it. I don't know if you can see it, but this is the key to the show car. This is the actual key that turned on all the electronics in the car. I keep it on my desk as a memento, but it had a combination of ancient and modern in it. So for example, the top is, it's glass, and inside the glass, it's black. That black is the carbon capture from the production of LF30. So the idea would be that every owner would have this bespoke key that was created by the construction of your vehicle. And inside the carbon, there's a little gold strip. And that gold strip is, again, kind of the ancient Japanese technique of, maybe you've heard of the, when a bowl or a cup breaks or shatters, you put it back together. And in Japan, they used gold to fill the cracks. And the concept there is actually the repaired cup is more beautiful than the original perfect item. And so the story is imperfection is beauty. And so the gold strip within the carbon here is not only representative of that technique, but it's actually the electronic transponder that contains all your data information, and it connects you to the vehicle. And so this piece of jewelry is both ancient and futuristic at the same time. And it's unique to you. It's a bespoke item. And we were really intrigued by this idea. We thought that this was a really great signifier of how the ancient and the futuristic can come together to create a beautiful object of science and technology. So a lot of these things we put into the design as a signifier of who we are as a brand and where our country of origin is. And one little last thing about this, the town that we're in, where ED Square is located, is famous for glass blowing. So the glass came from a local manufacturer. So it was a combination of France and Japan in this item.
I love the fact that you're respecting the past and embracing the future. I mean, that's pretty cool. There's a story all of a sudden attached to your car. I mean, probably more importantly, you've got a talking point. I mean, if you get one of these cars, you know, it actually goes into production. What you're talking about here is the ability to be able to discuss. Somebody's going to say, oh, wow, what's that key? Mm. What's that about? And then all of a sudden you've got a story, you've got a talking point. Those things are pretty unusual in today's cars. Mm. We just say, well, that looks cool. It goes fast. You can do a 0 to 100 in 3.2 seconds or something like that. That's generally the parlay. That's how we're talking about our cars. I like the fact that we can actually talk about tradition and futuristic in a world which is, you know, changing ever so rapidly, particularly these days. I can't imagine what it's going to be like in 2030 when my grandson's going to be, you know, 20 years of age. Tradition and charm are things that I think are going to be more in demand than they ever have been in the past, as well as you've got to be up to date with the future and you've got to be up to date with engineering. You've got to be ahead of the curve or on the curve or leading the pack. I get that. But those traditions are going to be sought after. And I think, you know, this Japanese sense of respecting the past, I think is really important. It's the thing that it gets me in any way. I mean, how important does this come from the top right through the organization?
I think what you're talking about is not only the tradition and charm, but the concept called omotenashi, which is Japanese hospitality. And usually it's in a very subtle way. And it's actually been a part of our brand ethos for a while now. And it's funny. Sometimes it's hard to describe because it's a very subtle thing. Something as simple as what's the lighting sequence when you approach the car. Our interior design team and the lighting engineering team really spend a lot of time to make sure the lighting sequence and the startup sequence make you feel comfortable and welcome and enveloped in a sense of I'm in somewhere special. But I think it's really key to a lot of our interior design philosophy, especially how are the passengers treated in the rear of the vehicle? What's the experience that they have? Is it just comfort or is it about how you spend your time or how you're involved with the trip or when you choose not to be involved? And so the vehicle knows you and it's geared towards you and it's designed to you. And this concept of welcoming is moving into the exterior design more and more, especially as we enter the age of electrification and automation. And we need to come up with ways to signify to the outside world that the car is switching between a fully manual drive mode or a fully autonomous mode. And so on LF30, we use the front and rear end lighting to signify to you when you walk up to the car that the car is powering on. It's in this mode. It knows that you're here. But as you're driving and you switch between modes, the lighting and the graphic in the front glass, the traditional grille pattern is replaced by a lighting array, and it communicates what mode the car is to the outside world. And that's a little bit about omotenashi as well, in a new way, how the car interacts with its environment, not only on the inside, but the outside.
Wow, that's... I mean, I'm not a car enthusiast, but I'm becoming one very quickly. I mean, this is pretty cool stuff. I want to say this to all our listeners. Everybody knows, or a lot of people know, that I have a relationship with Toyota or Lexus more specifically. This particular show, though, why I wanted this particular show produced for our listeners is because not very often do you get an opportunity to listen to the president of Toyota Europe Design Development. In other words, a person who is at the top of an organization which puts itself into position as a leader in the world when it comes to design and or breaking barriers and being innovative. And for me, this is a real privilege, Ian. I really appreciate this opportunity. I really appreciate the opportunity for my listeners, probably more importantly, to be able to listen to the sorts of things that a great company coming from a very small country, how they convey their own traditions, their own culture, and wrap it in futuristic design and then get this product across the world to be probably one of the most popular car brands there is in the world today in terms of numbers. For me, it's a big achievement for me just to be able to sit here and talk to you, to have someone of your ilk and a company of your ilk to express to us how you go about being innovative. So it's probably 1 a.m. or something in your country right now where you are in France. Hopefully you get to sleep in tomorrow morning. I appreciate everything you've said and every moment you've given to us, Ian. Thanks very much.
Mark, it's been a real pleasure, and I hope I gave you a taste of how we create the future and how much, as a brand, we really consider you as a customer and everybody around the world as a customer. We consider them first before we even put pen to paper.
I can see that, and I now have a greater insight into your organization. I hope our listeners do too, and I hope they get inspired to innovate in relation to whatever business it is that they are in today. Thanks very much, Ian. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Mark.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.